Jochebed must be one of the great mothers of history. She gave birth to Moses. This woman is an authority on pressures upon a mother. Tomorrow, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The mothers of earth have cried a river. Moses was born when a cruel law was in force. Every male child was to be cast into the Nile. It was a law spawned in hell. Daniel bumped into another, which made it illegal to pray except toward the emperor. Both were political witch hunts. A mother's love is stronger than the law. It can outwit the wickedness of man. Jochebed saw that Moses was a goodly child, and she determined to keep her baby. It meant risk and cost. Upon her test rested history. Other mothers are tested in opposite fashion. They must surrender a dead baby. They must face unworn clothes, unused toys, an empty crib. Mothers come to grip with problems immediately. Jochebed hid her baby for 3 months. Amram, the husband, worked under the whiplash of a taskmaster. The evening was a time when cuts were sewn and treated and bruises poulticed. One evening, Amram saw the hands of his daughter and the hands of his wife weaving a basket. It was done with the same care as Hannah prepared garments for Samuel. The 3-month-old Moses is fondled, hushed, and placed in the basket for adventure on the river, a little ark, before God ever an ark was built. Let every mother in this audience live that scene, feel the heartbreak, vicariously assume the parting. The child is gone. The child has been committed. Mother had committed him to God before she committed him to the bulrushes. She had turned to the Eternal Father who says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." Jochebed proves to all mothers who will trust that someone knows, cares, and acts. You know, God is in the saving business, mister, and God is in the motherhood business. "Nurse this child for me," said the princes, royalty from the house of Pharaoh. I would like to have been there the first night in Amram's house. The lost was found. The dead was alive. God is in that business. Mother, don't lose faith. It can be done. Motherhood is meant to be a miracle from start to finish. In one of the greatest true or false tests of all time, Solomon was involved in another scene from motherhood. It's a story of rivalry. When two women live under one roof, it breeds trouble. One night, by accident, one mother killed her child. In desperation, she made a switch. She switched the dead baby for the living baby. The furore in the morning led to the court. The claims set forth were loud and insistent. No witnesses could be produced. The case was one woman's unsupported testimony against another woman's unsupported testimony. A solution demanded keen insight into human nature. Solomon said, "Bring me a sword, and I will cut the living child in two and give half to each of you." The sword determined the verdict. "Yes, divide it," said one. "Let it be neither mine nor thine." But the mother, the real mother, cried, "Oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it." And that was enough. Nature had asserted itself. True instinct, created by God, always places the life of the baby first. Each mother knows her child. She knows with a knowledge that none other can share. Police, educator, preacher, physician. A hen knows her own chickens. A cow knows her calf. A sheep knows her lamb. This distinction is there to stay. All children are not alike. They cannot be homogenized by today's society. That experiment will fail. That individual love can always be measured by the sacrifice that mother makes for her child. It separates pretense from reality. Only truth knows sacrifice. Fraud will never pay that price. True love is seen in deeds rather than in words. The bogus mother made loud professions, and words are cheap. Deeds exact a price. The Bible asks, can a woman forget her sucking child? History answers that question. Yes, she may. It's an unbelievable and unforgettable moment. Yet will I not forget thee. That is God's promise. He will never be like the bad mother in this incident before Solomon. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. I want to take you to another scene in the Bible, one that Jesus observed, the widowed mother. The New Testament describes it this way, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Her total support was canceled. The boy was her future, her investment. Her life was wrapped up in his. It's disaster, blighted prospects, unfulfilled hopes, darkness. It's the big answer, sir. God does care. I've passed the little city of Nain often in my many trips to Israel. It's in Galilee, not far from where Jesus spent his boyhood. Only Jesus has the authority to interrupt funerals and bring back the dead. It must have come to the attention of the government. Each death wounds a mother. Mothers are the real casualties of any war. Ask any mother which child she could spare, and the answer is none. This mother had only one. She was alone, terribly alone, a widow. She'd already been to the cemetery. No one needed to give her directions. She had buried her husband. The lad had taken Dad's place in the home. And what now? The answer is always, look to God for help. The disciples learned on a stormy sea. Mark tells us that Jesus saw them. And I believe it. You and I are always in his vision. Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. He noted this widow's need as surely as he noted the hunger of the 5,000. Our God, sir, is a God of compassion. God understands my longings. Jesus was first concerned about her, and then he was concerned about the coffin. His first words were, weep not. Why? The only relief she knew was in tears. He himself knew the value of tears. But tears, mister, will not bring back anything. I have to look at them again and again in my profession. Tears of remorse. Tears of regret, tears of loneliness. They may temporarily ease pain, but they cannot bring anything back. But Jesus can. The Son of God stepped in to remove the cause of her sorrow. Remember, they are his to keep. He has the keys of death. Jesus is the great sympathizer. He is the comfort you seek. Not that bottle, not that needle, not that pill, that swear word. He is the healer of broken hearts. Bring your trouble to him and weep not. I select one more scene. Look with me at Rebecca, an unwise mother. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Rebecca was the mother of Jacob. Deceiving is lying, and mothers get into trouble when they do regardless of the end in view. She taught her boy to deceive, to pull the wool over his daddy's eyes. She failed her son and her husband. You think of Rebecca in her youth as industrious, modest, and pious, with a deep respect toward family and God. She suddenly put them all aside to obtain an advantage for her son Jacob. The result was trouble, trouble that God is still trying to undo between Abraham's seed. And it's a total lesson that the end never justifies the means. Isaac is made to look foolish, and a wife should never, never let down her husband. Age, sickness, loss of sight had taken toll on Isaac. He was not physically what he once was when she ran from the camels to meet him, but she owed him respect. God will never approve of one partner taking advantage over what is weak and feeble in the other. This mother caused bad blood. It's a mother's greatest mistake to set one child against another for personal advantage. True, Jacob got the blessing, but what did she get? She got a certain amount of satisfaction, but she lived to see bad blood between her sons. Was it worth it? She lived to endure lonely days and nights. Jacob was gone. She had only her blind husband for company. And how could she ever make up to that man what she had taken away from him? Oh, yes, yes, she paid. She paid with heartache. She probably never saw her grandchildren. And her deception came home to roost. Laban deceived his nephew. And Jacob was burdened with Leah. And oh, the deception went on and on and on. A mother's mistake is always costly. She above all needs wisdom. She needs to set the example. Yes, there is a lot about mothers in your Bible. Motherhood is an important office, and God means it to be. The mother in her office holds the key of the soul, and she it is who stamps the coin of character and makes the being who would be a savage, but for her gentle cares, a Christian man. The Holy Spirit is leading us toward the long, long altar to claim the benefits of this message, and you are to come with us. The invitation is to whosoever will, and all things are now ready. So approach in faith in these next 10 seconds. Maxwell, the great Queedy, finds the long, long altar reaching toward him in Bendel State, Nigeria, West Africa. He says, "Before you reached me, Brother Ward, I'd given up all hope. My mind and habits were reprobate. My imagination was evil continually. I could not sleep. I was restless and filled with guilt. The Savior you brought delivered me. My sin is all in the past, covered by Calvary. I'm a new creature, and now I'm interceding at the long, long altar for my family, none of whom are Christian. The gospel is the power of God, applied anywhere and anywhere that it is preached. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Jesus. We thank Thee for this great adoption. It is our righteousness to confess Jesus of Nazareth before mankind as the only begotten Son, Son of David and Messiah. Save preachers' children. Save deacons' children. Save Sunday school teachers' children. Save missionaries' children. Fill the aisles of our churches with these coming forward. I pray for my fellow ministers working in Thailand, working in Borneo and Java. I pray for men coming out of prison and starting a new life. Sustain their resolves to live disciplined lives. I pray for Thy children in consular and diplomatic services. Grant them success in advance. I pray for my nation and my president. We need so much help with taxes, unemployment, energy, inflation, and Thy will be done in earth. Amen." If Jesus were not real and present, this would be a sham. But He lives and keeps His promises that where two or three gather in His name, there I am in the midst. Mildred McKinney of Camden, Arkansas, has watched Jesus at work. For 8 years, a dear friend ministered to her paralyzed husband. Suddenly, she lost all use of her mental faculties. All command of her body ceased. And I found a place of assurance for her at the long, long altar. And now, for the past 3 weeks, she's been able to resume every duty and is caring for an aged sister as well as her paralyzed husband. And to God be all the glory. I sense the victor of Calvary moving in toward another mentally fatigued friend who is totally exhausted. This person will be supernaturally quickened and restored now. It is the will of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. So give glory and service to Him. I am His evangelist servant. Now this has been a glorious edition of The Meeting, the great network service which the Holy Spirit scheduled. Ron Brassington of Paradise Valley, Alberta, Canada, has been present. He thanks God that station CFCW brings this household in touch. Kate Lehman of Crane, Missouri, has been present, and she's grateful to station KWJO. This planet is getting ready to read the biggest headline ever printed, Millions Missing. The meeting in the air has been announced, and Jesus will send for us. Please make this company your company. The Holy Spirit will take care of you, for it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.
You have just